Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and good afternoon, friends. It is time to love. I'm Lydia, your loving friend on this journey of life. My goal is to support, motivate, and illuminate this path we are all on. That path leads to loving ourselves. It all starts with loving ourselves, and I guess ends there too. That is how to bring more love into the world. Let's face it, our world is in dire need of more love. Today's show is called Compost for the Soul. You probably know what compost is, but maybe there's a few of you that never had this amazing experience of gardening, or you just never gave compost much thought. Now, I'm going to tell you what it's all about. It's a soil amendment product made from the controlled biological decomposition of organic material. Ooh, that's a mouthful. Now, I live in Boulder, where we have compost pickup. Once a week, they pick up, with the garbage, they pick up recyclables, and then the next week, they pick up the compost. This is an awesome service. Compost can be made by organic materials, things we normally throw away, or garbage, so to speak. A wide range of materials called MSW, Municipal Solid Waste. That's what they pick up. These can consist of yard trimmings, your grass, your weeds, wood chips, vegetable scraps, paper products, and manures. Yes, even poop. It all breaks down with sunshine, care, and time and becomes this magical soil amendment. I am an avid gardener. We're all going to hear about that in the coming months. And I use compost in my garden. I feel blessed by living in a city who knows all about compost and has made such a high level of commitment to recycling. Not only our solid waste, but our organic material waste. It is just amazing, and we get to go to the plant, and we can shovel all the compost we want into our vehicles and bring it to our gardens. As we move into growing season, I will talk more about gardening and how it helps us spiritually. But for this show, that is compost for the soul. I'm speaking metaphorically compost, throw away stuff, sometimes even the caca of life. I love that word, caca. It, you know, even if you don't know that word, if I say, oh, I'm up to the caca, you know, they'll know what it is. Last week, as I was firing my students' kilns right after my show last Saturday, one of the students was there and glazing, and we got to talking, if you can believe that. Yeah, I talked to everybody. We shared a lot, and we got to the deep stuff. We'd both gone through a lot of caca in our lives, early childhood and beyond, yet we both came out of those experiences stronger and better. Instead of surviving, I'd say that we are thriving. My friend, Rini, said, I called these times, or those times, compost for the soul. Oh, this, as a gardener, this anthology just thrilled me. I asked her if I could use it, and Rini said, I don't think I thought of it. You could go ahead. Since it's almost spring, in fact, tonight, be sure to spring ahead. Set your clocks up an hour. I have actually been thinking, planning, starting seeds for my veggie garden, and I'm always looking for topics for my show. Compost for the soul. Taking the caca, doo-doo, poop, or garbage that life sometimes hands us and transform this into a medium for our soul's growth. I just love that analogy. With most things, it's a choice. Probably all things, it is a choice. We all go through horrific, painful things in this life. And how do you really know joy unless you've experienced pain? Now, I Googled compost for the soul out of curiosity and because I can. And Google is the most wonderful tool. And I found an author and artist named Leisha Berry, Brenda Berry, but no relation, who wrote a book called Soul Compost, Transforming Adversity into Spiritual Growth. I invite you to go to her website, Soul Compost. There it describes her book, Soul Compost, as a healing memoir about incest and recovery, the story of multiple modalities of successful therapies, an illustration of the power of inner creative work, writing, visual arts, body movement, and holistic practices to aid in inner transformation. A hidden revelation that the role that a spiritual life can play in recovery from PTSD. It also goes on to say, the choice to make good from her challenges was a decision to compost the adversity in her life, growing a thriving, enlivened being full of heart. I love that. We all have a choice to turn the garbage in our life to a medium for growth and true happiness. Now, of course, this means looking at the garbage and working it, transforming what is ugly into a beautiful growth experience. Of my experiences have made me who I am, and I am really grateful for them. You know, I've tried to think at times what my life might be like if I didn't have those early experiences. And I can't, you know, as painful as they were, I'm very, very grateful to them. Now, compost is made up of our waste, but to break this garbage down, we need sunshine, water, air, and a safe space. I happen to believe that's what we need as spiritual beings having an all-too-human experience. The benefits of sunshine, water, air, and a safe space, whether I mean these things literally or metaphorically. A safe space. Now, that can mean an amazing therapist, one that not only listens but helps you to grow out of your comfort zone, maybe even has to push you a little bit. It may mean getting out of an abusive relationship or ships at home or at work. If you are in this negative space, it is not safe. Let me repeat that. It is not safe. Make a choice to get out. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this overnight, but make a plan and get out of those abusive relationships. Get into a safe space. I don't care if it's a one-room apartment. If it's safe, if those abusive people are not in your life, that's a good thing. That's a safe place. Now, there are so many different modalities for successfully transforming our lives. What worked for me may not work for you. Do not settle. If you are not feeling better with one therapist or therapy, try another. What worked for your friend or your sister or your mom or the coworker may not work for you. Your metaphorical sunshine might mean meditation, where someone else's might mean dance or expressing themselves through clay or painting or singing. Your water may mean water literally. Are you drinking enough water? Now, I say that because I have recently started listening to my body, and my body said, very loudly, by the way, lay off the sugar. And since I've gotten off sugar, I'm drinking more water, a lot more water, and I don't wake up puffy. My stomach is flattened out. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. But have you ever sat by water? Have you done it lately? A stream or an ocean, or indulged in a sensuous hot bath complete with candles and essential oils, bubbles, or beautiful music, or all of the above. I haven't done that in a while. I'm going to have to get my son's bathtub in action. I am going to throw out a few questions to those of you who are listening. And you can answer them or make up your own question or make up your own answer or whatever. Anything that pertains to going through life doo-doo and growing something amazing. But have you turned the poop you were or are mired in into a growth medium for your soul? What is your compost made up of? So the number to call, and I hope you do, is area code 646-727-2914. And please just hold on and I will bring you up. Usually I ask you for, I'll say your area code and I'll ask you for your name unless I recognize your call. If you don't want to speak, but you're listening through the telephone, your telephone, just say, I'm not talking today, or thanks, but no thanks, something like that. But I do have a caller on the line, and I know who this is. This is Brenda, and I think I'm going to unmute her. Come on, I can do it. There we go. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
Can you relate to any of this?
Well, it's sort of like I think it's sort of like when when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade kind of thing. So I love that analogy that your friend provided. I thought it was brilliant. I've never really heard that, but then when you think about a compost bin and you think about, the parts and pieces that weren't really what we wanted them to be or seemed a little annoying or bothersome or dark or whatever, and you throw it in a compost and then comes out with this rich, gorgeous soil that's going to, actually grow beautiful plants and yummy food. I love it. My experiences.
Mm-hmm. You got one?
Well, the recent one is I used to apply all the time to this one particular artist in residency in my state, and I never got accepted. And then I even found out, it's like to add insult to injury, I have a cousin who is a really, she's rather famous artist, and she used to be the head of the National Endowment for the Arts for Washington State. And so a lot of people in the art world, of course, are interested in what she has to say because they send funding, around.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking to me after she knew that I had been trying to get in to this artist in residency, and she told me once, well, let me know how I can help. And I did let her know, but it never happened. And then later I found out that they called her and asked her if she wanted to go on this artist in residency because they had an opening or someone who canceled. Now, mind you, there's hundreds of women that apply, and there's alternates and all that, and most people who are alternates would be willing to drop anything to go. But instead, they had this woman go who didn't apply. She didn't really know anything about it, but, it's sort of that elitist attitude that bothered me, and it really used to hurt my heart. And then recently, I just published myself, and I wouldn't say I was sticking it to them, but I just acknowledged, where they actually were in my life. It's like I realized they're not perfect. And, going through that place, I used to think was going to be a validation for me and my writing. And so it was sort of me growing up and realizing that what matters is what I think matters, not what somebody else does. Even though it seems like it would be a great experience, you know, they sort of lowered their notch quite a bit. So they don't, I don't know, to me it helped to groom where I got to this moment.
Yes, exactly.
I hope that was
all
clear enough for other people to understand.
Yeah. Yeah, well, all those experiences, you know, it hurt your heart. You were, you know, it felt like a rejection. And that's a dark time. Nobody likes to feel that way. And
no.
But yet you persevered. You didn't throw away your writing. You didn't, you know, say, well, I'll never be a writer or this and that. In fact, you know, yay, you got published. You know, self-published is published, and if anybody is interested, you should befriend me on Facebook, and I can give you the link. Her book is called My Feet Ain't Pretty, and it's awesome. It's just a book of poetry which will move you in ways that you may not even expect. So I can you. I think that is very much how you have blossomed and grown out of that experience. Now, you had a choice. You really did. At some point, you could have just thrown down the book and forgotten it. You know,
yeah.
I have a story, and it's something that I had to remind myself about my mom. My mom told me that she had written a book, and my father threw it in the fire and burned it. But, you know, she never wrote again. And that was her choice. You know, she could have really shown him by, you know, writing and getting it published. She could have done it, but it wasn't that level. You know, it just wasn't at that level at the time. And she did get out of that abusive relationship. So I'll give her kudos for that one. But, yeah, you always have a choice in this life. You know, and that's what's so wonderful about it. You know, you can, you know, it's amazing. In fact, last night there was a video someone posted on, my son posted on Facebook, and it was a young man who was speaking to the camera and talking about how, it was like he was talking to me. It was really amazing, and he's like, it's all about choice. And he had several different analogies, and he was so amazing. I was just like, yeah, that's it. That's it, folks. It's about choice. But stay tuned. We've got more callers. In fact, I see a caller that I probably know, 780. Is this Julie?
No,
Nina.
It's not Julie.
Oh, it's Nina.
780. It's Canada. Come on.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know. Her area code is similar, but, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have my area codes down. Hi, Nina.
Hi, how are you?
I am most excellent. Now, does this resonate with you in any way? Can you think of any of the, you know, I asked a couple questions. Did you hear those?
Some of them.
Okay. Well, just two questions. I asked, have you turned the poop you were or are mired in into a growth medium for your soul? Or what
of
is
course.
Your compost made up of? Well, I know you have. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
you
basically getting rid of the negative.
Yeah.
You know, we all have negatives in our lives, and we have a choice. Are we going to continue to live with them or go on in a more positive manner? And I chose to go on in a positive manner.
I know you did.
It freed my soul, it freed my mind, and it freed my body by doing that. And I think everybody needs to make a positive choice in whatever they're doing.
Yes. Oh, most definitely. And whatever life hands them, you know, Brenda, in fact, I Googled that last night, Brenda, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade or compost for your soul. You know, they're both the same thing, making a positive out of a negative.
Yeah,
yeah,
one foot in front of the other, baby steps always.
Yeah.
I think that these are all saying basically that sort of there's no good or bad experiences. There just happens to be experiences, and the outcome of those experiences are directed by our thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
Or our perspective. So
yeah.
The whole half full, half empty, you know, whatever you want to look at, it's like no matter who you are, everything you've done, all the choices you've made have brought you to the here and now and will continue to bring you to the here and now because we only actually live in the present. However you choose to see the future or look at the past, there's only the now. And you're responsible. So with that in your mind, why not look at how those things are actually leading you or allowing you to be better than you were 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, I know Nina might have a modality that she favors. Do you want to talk about your experience of how, you know, of the different things that you used to get out of the mire, the muck and the mire of the smelly garbages breaking down into wonderful compost?
Well, I don't know if I have a path. I think my thought process goes that there's reasons for everything that is put in our path, whether they be good, bad, negative, positive, whatever. And they're all about learning to make the choices that you need to make, not somebody else, but the choices you need to make. And
mm-hmm.
only you can decide whether it's going to be a positive experience or a negative experience or an experience at all, for that matter. The choices are yours.
Definitely, but and one of the things I was kind of talking about is the different modalities that we all use for coming out of it, coming more into the light, it usually starts with a conscious choice of, okay, you know, I'm here, but I want to be there, and then how you get there. I was mentioning that sometimes a trusted therapist, you know, can really, you know, help us. And you know, they've got to listen, but they also, I think, I have known people in my life that have gone to therapists that they go for years and years, and they're still stuck as anything. I feel a good therapist is going to push you a little bit out of your comfort zone and make you grow, or even as an ethical part of their practice, suggest another therapist, or even suggest an activity, you know, suggest them getting in a meditation group or a yoga class or dance class or something, you know. But all of these are different modalities. In fact, this week I've been actually incorporating tapping as a modality for my healing in different areas, physically, mentally, spiritually, and I've gotten some really great results from it. But I picked up a book that I had lying around the house. Where did this book come from? And it was called Brain Spotting. I don't know what it's about, but the man has said it's like another level of EMDR, which is a modality of getting better, going processing our trauma, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
So, but I know something that you use and you practice. You want to talk about Reiki, how it helps?
Yeah, Reiki helps on basically your spirituality, mentally, physically, aligning you to where, I don't even know how do I explain this? It's something you really have to experience.
It's energy work,
isn't it? Yes,
it is
energy work.
You know, there are nurses in Boulder that do Reiki on their patients in hospitals.
Yeah, and it's recognized here, like holistic healers, which is I am recognized as. go to our cancer clinics here in town and help the people with cancer. They're involved with the children's hospital, stuff like that, because kids are so, they accept this so readily. And you notice instantly when you're doing Reiki on a child how the positive effects are there with them. And, of course, because you are channeling your energy, you feel it as well. So it's all-round healthy feeling.
Right. And you've actually, when I've been in a bad spot, you've actually, physically, mentally, or spiritually, you've actually done Reiki for me virtually, and I have felt it. I've felt the energy.
You know, yeah, that's the wonderful thing about it.
Yeah.
I don't have to be physically there. I can do it long distance. It's awesome. As long as the person is open to it, it's there.
Yeah, I love it. You know, and sometimes prayer, you guys, sometimes prayer will get us out of the muck and the mire, and that's a definite, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think prayer, meditation, and these kind of things can always do it if you choose to believe in this, you know, modality for pulling yourself out of the muck.
And I say try it. I say try anything. You know, try it. There has been many times when something is weighing on my mind, either about myself or a loved one, which is ultimately about myself, because it's weighing me down, and I pray, and I get answers. You know, I just ask for help, and the help comes. And it might come in a book. A book may all of a sudden come to me. I belong to a book club, and every once in a while I forget to send in my, no, I don't want that, and these books come in the mail. And you know what? I figured out that is sometimes the answer that I'm looking for. And sometimes I put the books on the shelf, and then all of a sudden, like when I found that brain spotting book, whatever that's about, I listened to a lecture on tapping, and I'm like, oh, I've heard of tapping. And so I looked on my bookshelf with all these amazing growth books, and there it was. There was The Tapping Solution by Nick Ortner, and it was just what I needed at the time. So, you know, asking for help or trying different modalities or, you know, do what makes your soul come alive and nourishes your soul. Just like compost will nourish the plants you put in the soil, you know, so many things can nourish you. In fact, actual gardening, that is an amazingly uplifting experience. It's physical. Yeah, it's pretty physical, and, you know, you could break a sweat, watch out, and your back may hurt, but, you know, you can go slow. My friend Barbara,
sorry.
No, I'm glad I made you laugh. No, this is good. Laughter. Oh, my God, sometimes a good belly laugh will really help you get out of the muck and mire. I just absolutely can't even tell you laughing. And I think I've mentioned before, I've got to find this yoga that's a laughter yoga. And literally the leader, you know, or the people that have been there before starts laughing. They throw their head back and they start laughing. And I don't know if you've ever been around someone laughing freely. You got to join in. And that's why they
Yeah, we actually had a couple of people come into convention one time, and that's what it was all about, laughing. And they just sat there. She said, just sit there and laugh. A little laugh to begin with. Proceed to make it a belly laugh. And you wouldn't believe how good you felt afterwards.
Oh,
you know,
I'm
she said, you don't even have to.
Go ahead.
You don't even need anything funny to think about. Just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It is you're going to feel better afterwards. Exactly.
Yes, and you know, it might be that element. I talked about compost making up of the waste, and then also it needs sunshine, water, air, and a safe space. And I think that is so metaphorical, but that sunshine can be the laughing. You know, just laughing and smiling is like sunshine, you know. And how many of us, yesterday was a rainy, trying to snowy day, gray here. And today the sky is blue, and right after this show, I'm going outside and I am going to put my face up to the sky and feel that sunshine and smile and just take it right into my being. Just let it, you know, like it's God itself or love, you know. I think light, love, God, all those things are so intricately combined, and I think they can even be words for each other. You know, I can say love for God, or I can say light for God, positive for God, peace for God, but all those things, and just feel it. And so if there's sunshine in your area, I'm going to really, I'm going to give you a prescription to feel better. I want you to go outside if you have sunshine and just put your face up to that beautiful light sky and feel it, folks. Feel that love, that light, that warmth that enters your soul. I think it's important. But
it is darn important. And if you live up here, put on your splash pants and your rubber boots and go play in a mud puddle.
Exactly. Mike,
we are melting up here finally.
Yay! Well, we're muddy today, very muddy. What were you going to say, Brenda?
I said I love mud puddles, and I grew up playing in all that stuff, and I still remember the joy of it.
Oh, me too.
Mud puddles are awesome.
I remember after a rain in Chicago at the end of the alley, and who knows what was in that water, but at the end of the alley, leading out to the street, there was a big, gigantic puddle that would collect after a rain. And all the kids, they were floating boats in the thing. They were stomping through it, of course, splashing each other. Yeah, a lot of joys in puddles and walking through puddles. Yeah, we could definitely be a little more childlike. But, you know, also the laughter. I want to get back to the laughter because I said that we need the sunshine, the water, the air, and a space, safe space for compost, but air. Air could be laughter, because when you laugh, you're breathing pretty deeply. So, you know, think about it, folks. Yeah, there's no one way to get yourself out of the muck and mire of life. There's many ways, thank God, and there's many people to help. And like I said, if you say help or I need help, it's amazing what happens. I think the act of asking is very, very important. You know, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. But we think that, you know, God knows. And I think we forget the asking part of it. And I think that's very, very important and wise, a wise directive from, you know, Jesus, of course, a wise soul. So, speaking of laughter, because Nina and Brenda and I never have a good time, I do want to say that we, the three of us, LNB, that stands for Lydia, Nina, and Brenda, are having a new radio show. And it's going to be the three of us, and we are going to talk about journeys. And this Monday is the first day of our, actually in the evening, we're going to have our show. And it's going to be at 9 o'clock in the mountains, Mountain Standard Time. So it would be 8 o'clock on the West Coast. And then 11 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard, on the Eastern Standard Time. And if you're in Chicago area, It'll be at 10 o'clock. Does anybody want to talk about it, what we're going to do, Nina? It's our maiden voyage.
Yeah, it's our maiden voyage, and, don't ask me right now. My head's fuzzy. Go ahead, Brenda.
Okay.
You, Brenda?
Well, I hope that you will tune in, because we actually are going to have meditations at the mm-hmm. end. I say meditations, but, you know, it's the beginning, so we're still formatting things. But at this point, I plan to lead us in a meditation at the very end of the show to help seed your brain with some positive tools for the quality of your life and improving and empowering your life. Because our show is actually called LNB Pass, what is it? Passages to Empowerment. Passages to Empowerment with Lydia, Nina, and Brenda. It's really all about empowerment. And if you haven't quite figured it out on this Essence of Radio Net, Essence of Success Radio Network, we're really pushing that. Not about the celebrities out there, but about you and how you can bring yourself to a celebrated position in your own life.
Yeah.
And this Monday, our show is Life's Turning Points.
Yes.
Right.
Life's Turning Points.
I remember.
We have all had them, folks. So, and I'm sure there'll be some enthusiasm and motivation, and I bet there's going to be some laughter on that show, too. What do you guys
no,
think?
No, us laugh? Never.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do want to talk more about a little bit more about compost. And if you want to call in and chime in on anything, you can call area code 646-727-2914. As I said before, I will just say your area code. And if you don't want to talk, just say, I'm just listening, and I will put you back on mute. But we'd love to have your input. I know so many of us have had hard times. The woman who wrote the book that I talked about, Soul Compost, she had PTSD. She had incest in her life. I mean, it was very, very hard. And I love reading about people that come from such adversity and what they do with it. And I do, once again, this is something you're going to hear over and over again on my show and Brenda's show and Nina's show now and Lennis's show. It's all about choice, what we do with what we're handed. You know, I work with clay, and it's a lump of mud, actually. It is made up of earth and other organic materials. And, you know, it's just a lump. That's all it is until I get it in my hands and I shape it into something. And hopefully something absolutely beautiful and something that I imbibe with joy and love. And then when it becomes something, say a bowl or a mug, someone can use it and feel that. And I know that it is important in our life to have these objects of love. That's why we buy gifts for people, you know. And, you know, it could be my prejudice showing. I will show it. But I think giving a gift of art, some kind of art that you know the person you're giving it to will absolutely love, I think that is, I think it's just very important for people to have those objects around. Definitely.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I was up at Nina's house in Edmonton, Canada, quite a few years ago, too many years ago. And she introduced me to painting with, it's called encaustic painting, and it's wax, it's colored wax. And wasn't that fun, Nina?
Oh, it's fun.
It's so much fun. And you don't know what it's, you use heat and colored wax, and you can just really make some amazing things with it. And I had never done it, but I still have some of my pieces and place them around. And not only do I think of Nina, but I also think of that wonderful time in Canada and all the joy I had there, and I've got a beautiful piece of art to go with it.
And I have the one that we all had our hand in. That one I love.
Oh, yeah. It's just like cooking. When, you know, we did a bit of that, too. We all took turns cooking, but we all helped, and it was we had some amazing artwork in the kitchen that we gobbled down.
We sure did.
Yeah,
of course, the dear old Porky Pig, too.
Yeah, Porky Pig. Yeah, that's Nina's husband. We lovingly call him Porky Pig. Well, actually, one of us called him that for so long that now that's all I don't even remember his real name anymore. No, I do know it. Jim, you're a doll, and you know it. We love you. He's, you know. Last night I was out with some girls, and one of us, well, all of us have great husbands, but I met a new woman, and she knew Nada. Nada has a husband who is absolutely amazing. He's just he's like a big Lydia, and he's just a teddy bear. He's so loving. He's just amazing, Wayne. And so I was talking, and I said, oh, I love Nada's husband. And so then the other woman, Julie, a new woman I met, said, I love Wayne. And so I'm like, okay, I think there's going to be a down and dirty fight here. But we were just kidding. And when we hugged Nada goodnight, we said, tell Wayne we love him. She goes, oh, my God, his head is going to be so big, it's not going to fit through any doorways. But that's the way I feel of Jim. Jim is old Porky Pig, we love him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Master chef that he is.
Oh, my God. Master chef, bartender, host. He's the host with the most, along with his beautiful wife, Nina. Yeah, really, really had a great time. Exactly.
And Porky Pig, I just want to say this. Bacon eaters of the world, unite!
Yeah! I love me some bacon.
That's what I used to say to him all the time, because we used to talk about how much bacon his wife would allow him to have, and you know, and how much we loved bacon.
Yeah.
I love piggers, yeah, too, just, you know, even the ones you don't eat. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So any other thoughts on compost for the soul, ladies?
Well, what does the composting got to do with the cooking? Okay, because, like, I'd like to hear that one.
Okay, all right, I'm going to tell you. Well, first of all, you know, it's a metaphor, the composting. And if, say you love to cook, to cook, sometimes putting all your love in a delicious meal and having a few friends come over is just so life-enriching. And sharing with them that maybe you've been down, but you're on your way up, or you're not, but you know, maybe they have something to give you. Maybe they have a name of a therapist. Maybe they have a name of a laughing yoga class, or, you know, or maybe they'll say, you know what, let's go for a hike. You know, you never know what is going to bring you out of the muck and mire, definitely. So that's one
sometimes
of the things.
All it takes is a touch.
Exactly.
All it takes sometimes is a touch or a hug. That's all it takes sometimes. And sometimes just a kind word, like, I love you.
Oh, yes. Oh, most definitely. I so agree with that, Nina. Most definitely. You know, that kind word, you don't even know how it affects. In fact, I am actually going to do a show on synchronicity. And, of course, kind words, kind actions, you know, things that you just come into your life and how it's almost magical. And that's going to be a future show, maybe next week. I'm not really sure. But also, get back to cooking and compost. When I cook, Miss Brenda, I'll have you know that I make a lot of compost because I always use a lot of vegetables. And the peelings of the vegetables, the rotten parts of the vegetables, I cut away and I put into my compost bin. And I have my personal compost bin, but as I said earlier, Boulder has a compost pickup service, and they do it every other week. The first 1 week is recyclables, like plastic bottles and newspapers and things like that, and then the next week is compostables. Isn't that amazing?
Okay.
Does your cities have that?
We don't have a composting thing here. My neighbor across the street does. Huh?
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad. And I was really glad the city did that because some people don't have gardens, and so they don't see the need of compost. But, you know, it's amazing. I can fill quite a large bag with one meal that I cook with stuff for the compost bin. Eggshells, coffee grinds, all of that goes in there. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Do you ask your neighbor if he needs any extra compost?
Well, she told me, this is the neighbor's cross street, she told me that they had a compost thing, so, you know, if I wanted to take some stuff over, they have chickens too. We're mm-hmm. in the unincorporated part of Tacoma, so they have, they have a thing that you normally wouldn't be able to do in the main proper cities.
Do they get egg chickies?
Yeah, they have eggs, and she offered eggs, fresh eggs to me as well. Yeah, she's very neighborly, really nice lady. But what it does sound like to me, with the compost, whether you're in the kitchen or whatever, it really does talk about the cycle of the spirit and life. You know, you have the stuff that you prepared for your body. Or, you know, and the little pieces go back in to create something better that comes then into our body. And then it's good on good. I mean, it's proving the whole point that there really is not a good or bad. It's your life and how you choose to see it. And some people are really brilliant at looking at the food that they use as the sacrifice to, you know, to join their body for, you know, more powerful, empowering, and spiritually uplifting type situation, whether they're eating meat or vegetables or whatever comes into their body. And they see it as that cycle. And I think compost is just a great analogy for the cycle of life.
Mhm. And it is all a cycle. You know, it's the birth, it's the death cycle, it's so many cycles. You know, I've mentioned before, you know, I really feel that being of service is an important part of our spiritual growth, but on the other side of that cycle is receiving. You know, women tend to be givers, and we might have a hard time receiving. But as you give and give and give, you deplete parts of yourself. And I feel that you need to then receive. And I think you need to keep the cycle, the giving and the receiving cycle. It's like when someone says to you, do you need help? And you know they mean it. They're not just saying it. To allow them to help you, that is, you're receiving that, and you're also giving them a gift of letting them give. They're able to give then. You know, I know too many women, and I am guilty as charged with just giving, and people say, do you need help? Or, you know, ask for help if you need it, you know, all this stuff. And would I do it? No. In my younger days, oh, no, uh-uh. I don't know what I thought. I just thought that it was all about the giving. But to complete the cycle, you have to receive. And that has been an amazing part of my journey. And it's still very hard. In fact, there was an exercise that we did one time in this church that I belong to. And we had been working on trust and trusting each other in groups and small groups. And then we did the thing, and it's pretty famous. Most people know about that, where you stand and you fall and people catch you. And it's kind of scary for givers, you know. In fact, they almost want to help you catch them, you know. And same thing with massage. Massage therapists tell me all the time, and they have to remind me, that they're starting to massage me, and then they're wanting to move my leg, but I move it for them, and they're like, no, 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 just let me do it. Don't help me. Let me do this. And for a giver, that is like, that's hard work. To just relax and let this person do their magic, yeah, to receive their magic, their healing, their love, their energy. Oh, my gosh. Do you guys find that, too? Have you ever had
that
experience?
I find it all the time.
I know
you do. With Reiki.
Yeah.
It's all about giving other people, you know, so-and-so needs some Reiki. What about you? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, well, I think maybe you could use some, too. Well, try, yeah, it does, you know, it's a, again, self-love has got to come into play, too, you know,
right.
And learn to accept that you as well need the love. You as well need the attention, the massage, the compost, everything. Sit back, enjoy, relax.
Yes.
Right.
Oh. Now, will you label yourself a giver or taker, or you're a good mixture, Brenda? What do you think?
Giver or taker, Lydia? What would you label me?
No, you. You're
I think
a giver.
I'm more. I'm definitely a giver.
Oh, you're definitely a giver. You get sick or whatever, and same with me. I'm the same way, except that I have learned. I am growing in that area because. Like I said, I realize it's a definite cycle, and I believe you have to complete cycle circle. You've got, you know, you've got giving at the top, and you've got receiving at the bottom. If you're not receiving, it's not healthy, people. It's definitely
no. You
not
have to
healthy.
Learn to receive too, and sometimes it's hard to sit back and receive, like you said. You know, giving up.
You know,
even moving your own leg. You want to do it. But, no, you have to receive as well, because if you don't, eventually everything is going to weigh you down, and you're going to be deep in that caca.
Yeah,
as you put it earlier. And, you know, without the circle and the cycle, giving and receiving has to be in there both.
You know, I think I'm going to make up a song, and there's going to be probably just a few words in the song, and it's going to be, self-love, 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 love yourself, self-love, 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 love yourself, you know, accept love, receive love. It's going to be boring, but I can't say it enough, people, you know, love yourself, then you can truly love others. Now, when I was a young girl, I don't know about you, Nina, but when I was a young girl, or Brenda, I got a lot of attention for giving, for taking care of others. And so I think and girls do. You know, girls don't get a lot of attention for going, well, hockey, I'm not going to wash the dishes. I'll go out and mow the lawn. You know, they don't get a lot of attention for that, for speaking their mind and doing what they want. But I believe that it's truly, we get our self-worth from helping others and giving. You know, we're rewarded. I was rewarded a lot. I'll speak in I's. I was rewarded a whole lot for taking care of others. How about you guys?
By yourself or by others?
No, by my mom, by others. You know, they noticed that I was a caring individual, and so instead of maybe commenting that I had a good independence streak, it was always about how, oh, Lydia, she can really, you know, she can take care of your kids, she can clean your house, you know, just all the kudos of taking care of others, but never for the independence. You know, in fact, I got chastised when I wouldn't hug a man who I got icky bad vibes from. And my mom was like, you're a bad girl. And I was just a little girl. I was about 3 to 4 years old. And I remember to this day, we went into this man's shop, and he was a friend of my mom's, kind of, sort of, who knows. And she said, go give him a hug. And I did not want to. And man, I didn't get hit, but it was, I would have preferred the hit because my mom actually, you know, nagged me all the way home calling me terrible names because I didn't hug that man. But I didn't want to.
Good for you.
Well, I'm glad that you went with your intuition.
Yeah, but I paid
It's really unhealthy to ever tell children to do such things.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Or
and,
anybody.
You know, I agree. And but especially children, because they're intuitive little souls, and they are just forming their, you know, they're getting their intuition. Their intuition is alive and well. And if you try to squelch it or make them long for it, I think it's a travesty. I think it's a travesty against a beautiful soul. And it can be so confusing for children. And, you know, I think that was the last time I ever did that, and I hugged people I didn't want to hug as a child. And that's awful. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, how I turned that around is to acknowledge it, and I moved on. And I am one of the most loving people I know, but I will not allow anyone to force their children to hug me. That hug has to come from feeling comfortable and safe, and if they want to give it to me freely, that's awesome, but I would never, ever force it, ever. In fact, I hoorah children that don't want to hug me, you know, because they're listening. They're, you know, they're a little unsure. They don't know who I am yet, but so, you know, just let them be. They'll come to it eventually. They all do.
Well, they sure do, because I remember Lydia being bombarded by hugs at my house.
Oh, God, I love those kids. I would read them stories and stuff. I just love those kids. Yeah. The love was well, it was freely given and received in your home by everyone.
Oh, yeah, always is.
Including animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a dog piece, and you had a kitty at the time. Do you still have the same kitty? I forget. He was
Bootsy, yes, Bootsy's. Yeah, Bootsy's still here, and now we have another one.
I
Her
know.
Her name is Stir Fry.
Yes, Stir Fry. She's Siamese, isn't she?
She's part Siamese, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my room.
Very smart creatures, very smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, folks, we are actually getting close on time. I do want to remind everybody to listen to The Essence of Success. We have shows every single day, so you do not need to go without. We have shows on psychology and film. We have shows on bringing your own brilliance. We have Traffic Jam. We have Free Psychic Wednesdays with Lennis. She also does Traffic Jam, and then on Sundays she has a lively show. So hopefully you'll all tune into that. And Brenda has Filmcology and BYO Brilliance. I have Time to Love. And then the three of us, Miss Nina, who's called in from Canada, she's going to join us. And you are going to learn a lot from Nina, as we all do. She's absolutely wonderful. It's Passage to Empowerment.
Empowerment.
Passage to Empowerment. Yes, and please join us on our maiden voyage. We're kind of, you know, we're thinking of journeys, and we're thinking of ships going through sometimes beautiful calm waters and sometimes rough seas, but we are there. The three of us are going to be there to talk, to have a lively conversation about all kinds of things. And this Monday night on our maiden voyage, it will be for turning points in our lives, and we've all had them. And so I want to invite you to listen to that. You guys have any last words?
No, love you. Love both of you very much. Love the show. Lydia, keep up the loving.
You know, yeah. I will. Now, I one more thing, and I can run over a little bit. Now, I have one more thing, and it is by one of my favorite authors, and I have a few favorite authors, Brenda Berry being one of them now, but also this one is Anne Lamott, and she wrote a book called, all her books are worth reading, folks, Help, Thanks, Wow. That's her book, and I'm going to do an excerpt from it because I just love it. Okay. someone has a baby or pulls the trigger or snatches the money or picks up the drink or doesn't or makes it to shore and everything sorts itself out or falls apart, and through it all we pray, help, help, help. Thank you. Wow. Amen. And then 2 hours or 2 days later, help. We are saved by memories of love and beauty. Maybe there's more of that to come if we keep on keeping on. Or we are haunted by our failures and our mortality and beg that we not end up in such darkness again. So we say amen. Life is motion, change, stagnation, bloom. Nothing ever seems to happen, or awful stuff happens, or beautiful stuff happens, and we say amen. Just when we think we've gotten things all lined up nicely, a rogue wave washes it all away or deposits it onto the shore, a bright orange queen conch that we've been looking for all our lives, or a big chunk of fossilized whalebone honeycombed with minuscule cells of color, and we say, wow. We're blown away for a time, and then we usually slip back into regular old life. And so it is. The amen is only as good as the attitude. If you are trying to finish up quickly so you can check your cell phone messages, you are missing the chance to spend quiet moments with the giver of life and the eternal, which means you may reap continued feelings of life racing along without you. So as Samuel Beckett admonished us to fail again and fail better, we try to pray again and pray better for slightly longer and with slightly more honesty, breathing more, deeper, and with more attention. Quiet. Deep breath after any prayer is another form of amen. And that's from Help, Thanks, Wow by Anne Lamott. I love her writing. You guys, until next week, actually, Monday. Monday, I will see you all at 9 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, and that's 8 o'clock, Brenda, for you, and I know you'll remember it's me we got to worry about. I love you all. I love everyone who is listening, has listened, or will listen. God bless you all. Have a great day. Go look at the sun, people, or don't look at it. Put your face up to it. Close your eyes and soak it in. Love you guys.
Love you, too. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.